It's a Saturday morning, the month of November, November 2nd, as a matter of fact. Time for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Hey, Ted, good morning to you. How are you?
Great, Diddy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, too. I think we're going to see sunshine today. And although the folks who love snow will probably see it, what's left, melt. But you know what? Life goes on. we'll take care of it. But again, don't forget to turn your clocks back 1 hour. We're going to lose daylight saving time and back to standard. So just thought I'd throw that in, too, just as a reminder.
Way to discombobulate everybody, just like our weather, Denny, where all of a sudden now we have to throw things back and go forward and go do all that stuff. I think they should just keep it as is and forget about it.
I agree. What can we chat about this morning, Ted?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that as far as all this kind of odd weather we're having and a little bit of the snow and finally getting some fall chill in the air. And it's kind of one of those things to talk about, you know, the way people switch over, get their house ready for the winter as far as cleaning those gutters, doing all those things, changing, you know, you change your wardrobe a little bit. You maybe take out the wool sweaters and you put away the cotton sweaters. You change all kinds of different things. You get ready for it. And the same kind of goes for your wine cellar and or your wine purchases because, you know, it's getting chilly out there. You know, you don't want a light, thin wine. Maybe you don't want to chill your wine per se anymore because it's already a little bit too cold. So you kind of have to move on and develop your wine cellar and your wine preferences to kind of suit the weather and maybe step into things that are a little bit bolder, a little bit richer, a little bit bigger flavor. Because, you know, if you think about it, you're not going to have any cold gazpacho soup right now. You're probably going to do a heavy beef soup, you know, that kind of sticks to your ribs, that type of thing. And the same goes for wine. So maybe, you know, you're putting your rosés away. And mind you, you could drink your rosé year-round, and I've been notorious and known to do it. But, you know, you probably want to put your rosés away and move into some red wines. And then the red wines that you probably want to move into are things that are a wee bit heavier, a little bit more flavorful, a little bit richer. So you maybe want to gravitate away from light Beaujolais per se and go into some bigger, heavier red wines. You know, just there's a little bit more robust flavor to them. There's a little bit bigger body. So you're moving from a light style of like a Gamay grape all the way up to a Syrah grape, which is a thicker skin, a lot more rich body to it, a little bit more intensity to it. And it just sort of suits the weather because, you know, like I said before, when you're right around now, you might want to do like a big beef stew or a cocoa bod, you know, something with a rich sauce. Very thick, very heavy, because it is cold outside, and you kind of want to prepare yourself for that. So, you know, one of my favorite Crow's Hermitages is one called Domaine Batatus. Wonderful wine, but it's almost 100% Syrah. Very full, very rich, but it goes so well for things right now because also, you know, there are hunters out there, and everyone knows a hunter that's always giving away certain meats, whether it's venison or duck or pheasant, that type of thing. And these Rhone wines like that or that heavier, richer style of wine goes so well with that that it's just a match made in heaven as far as that rich flavor of all the game along with some of those Rhone wines. But, you know, it doesn't have to be pigeonholed exactly to Rhone wines per se. You could also step into drinking more Cabernets right around now. Now, Cabernet, one of the widest planted red grape varietal around the world, but it's very big, it's bold, it has a little bit of an austere finish on it, and there's so many different Cabernets to choose from, whether it's an, you know, inexpensive Cabernet from Australia, or you can go into the high, high expensive Cabernets that you see in Napa Valley, where, you know, some of those ones, like a Camus or whatever, run in the, you know, $80, $100 bottle. But the thing about that, it's a bigger, bolder, richer style wine where Cabernet is known for its thick skin. One reason why it does so well in Napa Valley because it gets so hot, but its thick skin kind of protects it during those hot days. But that also pigments the wine. So there is that little misnomer that when you crush a grape, you get red wine, but that's not the case. When you crush a grape, you actually get white wine, and it's the contact with the skin that pigments it and turns it into red wine. And being Cabernet with that thicker skin, it definitely gets it a bigger, richer, bolder flavor. And that's what, you know, goes so well with right now a little bit cool outside. Again, you maybe want to slap a big steak on the grill, or, you know, kind of roast up, you know, big roasted chicken with all the sides and gravies and things like that. Those heavier, more robust meals will go so well with that as far as Cabernets are concerned. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you kind of have to tune your cellar to the weather. You know, like I said, but maybe you don't want to drink a Pinot Grigio. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you have to stop it, put those away. There's nothing wrong with that. But maybe you want to move away from that Pinot Grigio or Sauvignon Blanc and try a Chardonnay. Or, more interesting, you could also try a Viognier. Again, that's a wine that comes from the south of France. It's a blend, and so a lot of the Rhone varietals, but the Viognier has a nice melon flavor to it, a little bit of viscosity to it as far as texture on your palate. A wonderful wine, but again, you're trying to move away a little bit from those lighter style wines and move into kind of a bigger, more robust wine, because, you know, again, with that little nip in the air out there, you kind of want something that's going to stick to your ribs so you can sit down and kind of get ready for all this cold weather that we will eventually have, because we are Minnesotans and we know what's coming toward us.
Oh, for sure. You mentioned a bit ago about roast chicken, and I grilled with nothing but charcoal, and what came with the grill was a rotisserie setup, you know, the motor and the, you know,
oh,
whole thing.
For sure.
Yeah, well, I tried that 3 nights ago, before the snow happened. I thought, I'm gonna see how it works. So I did. I roasted a chicken, and it turned out great. But what I wanted to say is every time it seems like I have a roast chicken, either I buy it made or roast it myself, I always seem to go to a Rhone for the wine. And I'm wondering if I should experiment with something else. What else would go with the roast chicken, do you think? It seems to be so perfect.
You know, but roast chicken, I mean, it's so universal, and that's such a fun way to do it on the grill because, believe it or not, you don't need to baste it. Obviously, it's turning itself. The machine's doing a lot of the work, and you usually get a pretty consistent burn that way. But, you know, with something like that, yes, you know, you can migrate toward the Rhone as far as, you know, a Côte de Rome. But if you want to try something else, I would recommend there's a lot of terrific Pinot Noirs that would go very well with that. Right now we have a little Pinot Noir called Hitch that comes out of the Edna Valley down in the southern part of California. Really great, well-made wine. It has some body to it. It's not as light and elegant as a Bourgogne Blanc or Bourgogne Rouge that you would get from France, but you could do that. Or even Willamette Pinot Noirs. You know, we have one that's one of my favorites. It's called Second Growth from the Willamette. Just a wonderful full-flavored Pinot Noir, and that's kind of the big difference between Pinot Noirs in the United States versus their Burgundian counterparts, where the French or the American wines have a little bit more fruit to them, a little bit more concentrated, where on the flip side, the Burgundian Pinot Noirs are kind of the more elegant, a little bit lighter in style. They reflect the terroir a tad bit more, where the Americans are a little bit on the bigger, a little bit more juicy side of things. And, you know, but the great thing about that is really with roasted chicken, the world's your oyster. Again, you could try Cabernets, maybe could be a little bit big for that, but really any kind of decent size, medium to full bodied red wine would go brilliantly with that roasted chicken. And then you sparked me and inspired me, Denny, because I have, I think, probably the same setup that I'll have to get on my grill and rotisserie some chickens this weekend.
Yeah, and I think maybe after, well, of course, it's going to start raining, which I do. We need it badly. My next shot is some ribs, and we'll get to that eventually. But you know, you mentioned the Willamette Valley, and I remember for the very first time several years ago, getting a bottle of Pinot Noir from Willamette, from Haskell's. It knocked my socks off. Why is that Pinot Noir from, I mean, there are a lot of other regions like you mentioned too, but it was so good. What's the deal?
Well, the interesting thing about the Willamette is location, 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 and its geography is just perfect for growing Pinot Noir. The interesting thing is you have the Cascade Mountains on one side, you have the Burr Mountains on the other side, so you do get this cool climate since you're so close to the ocean, where at night, and that's what Pinot Noir thrives on, is a cooler climate where, again, like I said earlier, Cabernet likes a little bit warmer, hotter environment, where Pinot Noir, especially at night, loves it when it cools down to, you know, 50s and 60s, and it just thrives like that. And then during the day, you get so much sunshine, and it really helps the grapes to develop, get more robust a little bit. But that cool, cool night that you get in the Willamette Valley is kind of the secret sauce to all that great Pinot Noir that you see come from Willamette.
I'm imagining another Good Neighbor tour, only this time to the Willamette Valley. Maybe we can plan on that sometime. I don't know.
I think we got some work ahead of us, and we got to start making some phone calls, Danny, and get that on the books.
Yeah. Are there places, and you know this because you guys travel all the time at various wine areas, are there places like Napa? Are there hotels and restaurants and places to stay, B&D, you know, in that area of Oregon?
Oh, without a doubt, there's several places, and they're gearing up. Now, I would argue that Willamette is probably, 15 to 20 years behind the development that Napa has. As far as the tourism side, a lot of the places, it's kind of funny when you go to the tasting rooms, don't open till 11, and then they close maybe at about 4 o'clock. So it's a little bit different setup where, you know, Napa Valley is kind of the adult Disneyland of the wine industry as far as, you know, what they do and how they do it, where it's still developing, getting on. But the nice thing about doing that in the Willamette is usually if you go into some of those tasting rooms and you're at, you know, enjoying their wine and seeing that, usually the guy's name that's on the label is the guy pouring you the wine. So it's a little bit more intimate experience doing it that way, where Napa, you know, has gotten so big and elevated that, you know, they have a whole staff doing that. You know, you never nowadays see the actual proprietor there. They're off busy being famous someplace. But in Willamette, you still get that salt of the earth person. You know, the guy with the dirtiest hand is usually it's covered in mud because he's working so hard because he owns the place.
Ted, we got about a minute to go. Let's talk a little bit about Haskell's before we join CBS News. What can we tell the folks?
Well, we can tell the folks a lot of stuff. Today is the last day of our fall wine sale going on. We have 130-some BOGOs on promo right now. So if you want to stock up for your sellers and get ready, I mean, 130 wines to choose from, where you buy one, you get the second one free. And it ranges from, you know, inexpensive cellar builders that are in the $10, $12 range, and even all the way up to collector items like a Brunello di Montalcino and things like that that go on. And it's all going on, and this weekend is, we're wrapping it all up. So you can stop by any of the Haskells because the sale is still going on. You can go into a Haskells in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekends. Haskells in Minnetonka. We have a Haskells in Highland Village. Haskell's down in Lowman's Plaza in Bloomington. Also a Haskell's out in Excelsior. We have a Haskell's out White Bear Lake. Stillwater, if you're going way down south, you can swing by Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35. And then we also have a Haskell's in Plymouth. Or to swing by the Haskell Super Cellar up in Maple Grove, it's a sight to be seen. And if you can't hit any of those and you're busy, busy this weekend, always you can stop by Haskells.com 24/7. Place your order. We'll take care of it. Make sure you get those BOGOs and take advantage of these great prices that we have going on.
Sounds mighty good. Ted, have a great week, and let's talk next week.
I'll tell you how that roti chicken goes, Denny.
Yeah, go for it. All right, Ted, thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.